Luke 15 has three very well-known parables in it. And these parables are all told by Jesus for a reason. If we go to Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, we see why he tells these parables. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And it says, so he spoke this parable to them. And so we have this list of three parables because the religious leaders of the day complained about him receiving and eating with sinners. The first is about the lost sheep. The second is about the lost coin. Those are a little bit shorter parables. But then the longer parable, sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the prodigal son. And usually over the years, we have focused a great deal of our attention on the younger son, the one that we call the prodigal son. But really, the parable addresses the lost spiritual condition of both sons, the younger and the older. And it's the older ones that were primarily going to be concerned with, because we want to ask ourselves, are we the older brother? Are you and I the older brother? Because maybe we have not paid as much attention to the older brother because he tends to describe some of us. And some of these points come from Timothy Keller's book on the prodigal God. And you know, the Bible tells us that we need to look into the word, the perfect law of liberty. This is how James puts it in James chapter 1. Read with me here, beginning in verse 22. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed by what he does, in what he does." So that is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be kind of looking into the mirror of this parable that Jesus gives to us, teaches us, to see if this older brother might be us. We know what happens to the younger brother. He asks for his inheritance early, and he takes it, and he goes off into a far country, and he wastes it, and he becomes destitute and has to work in a pigsty, basically. And he realizes, he comes to his senses and realizes, hey, my father's servants are better off than me, so I'll go back to my father's house and just ask to be a servant. And we read in verse 22 of Luke 15, "But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. So what we want to look at then is the older brother's reaction to what has just happened. We're going to look at four things here, four points that kind of describe the older brother and see if it happens to describe us. The first one is some people believe that they deserve a good life for obeying God. Look at Luke 15, verse 28, describing the older brother. "But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him." Okay, the older brother is what? First of all, he's angry. He refuses to join in the celebration, even though his brother had been lost for a period of time and had been destitute and in terrible shape, but he comes back, he repents and asks for forgiveness. But the older brother's response is filled with resentment. He's bitter. And part of the reason for this is that what the father was doing for the younger brother didn't fit in with the older brother's view of life. I'm going to quote from Keller's book, The Prodigal God, now, page 57. Elder brothers believe if they live a good life, they should get a good life. That God owes them a smooth road if they try very hard to live up to standards. So here's kind of the first characteristic of the older brother that we see surfacing. We're really getting to see what the older brother is like, how he thinks, his attitude, his spirit toward other people, his spirit toward his father, his attitude toward obedience. And so this older brother believes that if he lives a good life, then everything should be smooth sailing. In other words, he should get a good life. In other words, God owes him. So this attitude is basically one based on merit. Well, look, God, I've done what you've wanted. I've obeyed you. Then that means you owe me a nice, smooth, prosperous, life. And, I've lived up to your standards. So this is what you owe me. And so what this older brother, his attitude is, well, he's seeing his younger brother getting this feast, this celebration. You know, the father brought out a robe and put it on him and put a ring on his feet, sandals on his feet, or a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and brought the fatted calf. And they were, he said, let us eat and be merry. Well, the older brother sees this, sees someone having a good time, having a celebration. And so the other older brother gets resentful. You know, the older brother is saying, well, why do they get that? They don't deserve it. You know, he went off and blew his inheritance and lived a riotous life. Why is he getting something good and not me? You know, look at everything I've done, and after everything I've done, I deserve it. So the older brother's obedience is like him trying to control his life. So he's not obeying his father out of love, for what's good and right, but to get something he wants. And that's what he's doing. He's living this way because he thinks, well, I'm going to deserve something good. I'm earning it. I'm meriting it. So does that ever describe you? See, that's the question we always want to ask. We want to look into the perfect law of liberty and see what the reflection looks like. Okay, here's another option. You have a strong sense of your own superiority. Notice again what the older brother points out to his father. This is verses 29 and 30. We read verse 28. Now we're going to read 29 and 30. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. So he's pointing out to his father, basically, look how much better I am than your younger son. You know, I'm more obedient. I have better standards. I'm more morally upright. Look how hardworking I've been. And so he's basing his image of himself on how hardworking he's been, his record of obedience, how morally upright he's been, maybe even the group that he's in. And so he's basically saying, look how much better I am than my brother. He's saying, you know, I'm better. I feel superior because I am superior. His brother was not like him. And so, you know, this sometimes happens with racism or those type of discriminations. You know, people feel superior to other people. They have this sense of superiority. Listen to Loveless's The Dynamics of Spiritual Life. This is a good quotation. People who are no longer sure that God loves and accepts them in Jesus, apart from their present spiritual achievements, are subconsciously radically insecure persons. Their insecurity shows itself in pride, a fierce defensive assertion of their own righteousness, and a defensive criticism of others. They come naturally to hate other cultural styles and other races in order to bolster their own security and discharge their suppressed anger. This whole idea of being superior is based upon or grounded in, you know, I'm better, or I do it better, or I live better. And so the older brother saw himself like that, as better than his younger brother. So as a result, what did he do? He refused to participate in this celebration. And even though the younger brother had, you know, repented and came back and so forth, the older brother didn't see himself as being part of that group that he labeled sinners. Is that ever us? You ever see ourselves in the older brother? Let's think about another one. You obey God out of fear without any joy at all. See, the older brother's attitude kind of surfaces, slips out, when he tells the father that he's been working for him kind of like a slave. Verse 29, lo, these many years I've been serving you. See, it's almost like he's saying, I've been a slave to you. I've done everything you've wanted me to do for all of these years. And of course, the Bible says that we serve God. I mean, there's no doubt about that. We are servants of God, and we're supposed to be. But along with that, there should be this sense of joy and happiness and rejoicing and love in our obedience. If we go to John's account of the gospel, notice John 14:15. Notice how love and obedience are coupled together. There's a relationship between them. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See how they're coupled together there? Those, of course, are the words of Jesus himself. So, the older brother thinks that what he's doing is the work of a slave. Quoting a Keller again from The Prodigal God, the word slave has strong overtones of being forced or pushed rather than drawn or attracted. A slave works out of fear of consequences, you know, fear of these things being pushed upon him by force. And this gets to the root of what drives an elder brother. Ultimately, the elder brother live good lives out of fear, but not out of joy and love. So the older brother was only living a moral life, only living an upright life for his own benefit, to avoid the consequences. So in other words, it was all about him. He was very self-centered, egotistic, and in that sense, he was like his younger brother was when he left to participate in riotous living. And so even though the older brother may do some good things, you know, may do some good deeds and so forth, it's all about doing it for himself. to benefit himself. Does that sound like you? So that's the question we have to ask, because we're looking into the perfect law of liberty and we're seeing how what the mirror reflects. And then, you lack assurance of God's love. See, the older brother there, we read in verse 59, you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. In other words, you never threw me a feast. You never threw me a party. You never threw me a celebration. Keller notes, as long as you're trying to earn your salvation by controlling God, in other words, through your good acts, your good deeds, your behavior, you'll never be sure you've been good enough. You simply aren't sure God loves and delights in you. Here are some signs, as Stewart says, some signs you lack assurance of God's love. Whenever something goes wrong in your life, you wonder if you aren't being good enough. And so you make this connection in your mind between, well, that's why things aren't going too well. It's because I'm not good enough. Or another sign, you need the approval of others to increase your own self-worth. And of course, criticism from other people would just absolutely devastate you. When you do something wrong, you're tormented by guilt and aren't sure you've repented deeply enough. Maybe you don't have much of a prayer life. So why is all this important? Well, while the younger brother, see, he came to realize that he was lost. You know, he was in that pig pen, he was in that pigsty, and the Bible says, basically, he came to his senses. So he realized what he had done wrong. He realized he was lost. He realized he was separated from his father, from his family. So while the younger brother realized his true condition, the older brother did not. He didn't know his true condition. So we need to recognize that a lot of younger brothers have left home, and maybe because of the attitude of the older brothers. Keller, one more time from The Prodigal God. It is natural for younger brothers to think that elder brothers, brotherness, and Christianity are exactly the same thing. But Jesus says they're not. In his parable, Jesus deconstructs the religiosity that is one of the main problems with the world. In this parable, Jesus says to us, would you please be open to the possibility that the gospel, in other words, real Christianity, is something very different from religion, and religion like the world thinks of religion. So what Jesus has done for the people in the first century and for all of us since then, he describes the paths the younger and older brothers followed. He says, both of those end up as dead ends. In other words, the younger brother got his inheritance, went and wasted it, ended up in the pigsty, dead end. The older brother, while he stayed at home, his attitude and spirit ended up dead end. So in this parable, Jesus is really challenging both groups. You need to find a different path. One that goes to the Father, but it goes through Christ. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as we end, we want to go back to that passage in James that says, you're supposed to look into the perfect law of liberty and see what that reflection is. And is it reflected in the younger brother? Is it reflected in the penitent younger brother? Is it reflected in the older brother? What do we see in the mirror? Well, thank you for listening. And if the Lord allows, we'll be here next Sunday evening. Thank you.